It's Magic the Amateuring, episode 171.
That's right. For everybody tuning in for the first time, this is a magic podcast hosted by cats all about trains.
Yep. Sure is.
That about sums us up.
That would be a great podcast. I would listen to that.
I mean, okay, but my question is it interpreted?
By humans?
Yes. Or is it just two cats meowing at each other and we assume it's about trains?
I think there is subtitles.
Oh, okay. Oh, I accept subtitles as probably the best middle point.
Yeah.
Because if it's just two people translating it, like, via audio, then that just sounds like two people. And I'm not interested in that, frankly.
Did you see the invention for translating cats' meows?
Yes. Great.
You guys, someone's done it. There can be no good inventions now. I mean, it's all been done. It's all been explored.
It's all downhill from here. They said someday we will reach the singularity, and we said, nay, good sirs. First, we translated cats, and that was the end.
Yep. And now we have nothing to look forward to as a society or as a human race any longer.
Sorry, everybody. Pack it up and take on off.
Wait, except for GP Minneapolis.
That's right.
Looking forward to that.
and Eldritch Moon.
Yes, Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon and what's making the moon so spooky.
I know. What would happen if you never found out?
Oh my goodness. I would be so upset.
You would be such a mad ghost.
Yes. I would be such a mad ghost. I have a really big issue with books that are like open-ended. That are like, it's up to the reader's interpretation what happened. And I'm like, no, that's a goddamn cop-out.
So tell you me what hate happened. Contact is what you're telling me.
What?
Contact. What's by Carl Sagan. Have you seen the movie?
No.
With Jodie Foster?
No.
What? You've never read it? Oh
no.
My gosh, you guys, I'm so excited because Megan's going to experience it.
Okay.
It's so good.
I'm very excited.
Oh, it was like my favorite movie growing up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what my favorite movie was growing up?
What?
Well, amongst other things, it was Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home. Which I think explains a lot.
Oh, perfect.
Anyways, I'm one of your hosts, Megan.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria, and on today's show, we have a lot of standard action for you.
That's right. It's as if this entire episode is just one big
standard corner.
Yeah. Just an average corner.
We've got GP Toronto happening.
That's right. It happened this weekend, and there were some decks in the top eight that we have not seen yet.
I know. Exciting.
Very exciting. We're going to talk a little bit about Green-Black Sacrifice, which I have been playing quite a bit of because, you guys...
It's a great deck.
I'm in love.
You fall in love with decks really fast and hard, Megan.
So are you saying that there's something wrong with that?
I'm just saying,
be cold and heartless in my appraisal of decks?
Just, you know, check your heart. I don't want you to go down the sails and get hurt.
Do you know what? I would rather have my heart broken than never get my hopes up at all.
Okay, it's better to have loved and lost, I guess, huh?
Exactly.
Literally lost.
In this case, literally lost.
We're also going to talk about the Community Super League. We have a really fun week coming up on Thursday. We hope you tune in at twitch.tv/magic. Innistrad Plane Constructed.
Yes.
Ooh.
Very excited.
What is that and what are we brewing? Let's put our brew hats on. Let's get in our basement and start making some brews with our hipster mustaches and tiny suspenders.
That's right. I'm going to buy bees to keep in the backyard just so we can have our own honey for our own brews.
Oh, we're making mead?
Well, you can put honey in other things. But sure, that too.
Okay, great. There's also something really exciting to look forward to in the show.
Yes, we're having a very special guest on this week.
A special guest.
Ooh.
Yes, it's Pro Jared, if you're familiar with him. He does video reviews on YouTube of video games. Sometimes he plays Magic, like he'll open a booster box on stream, that sort of thing. And he's a very kind of casual kitchen table playing Magic community member. And, you know, we don't talk to them enough. So I was like, we've got to get their perspective as well.
Let's get their perspective in here.
And Jared and I used to do improv together.
What?
Yes, back in my early days of being an improviser. And crazy. He was just hilarious. So I'm really excited to bring him on. He's going to tell us all about this game that when he reviewed a very early, like early Magic game.
It's going to be awesome, you guys.
I'm so excited. We have a very special guest to welcome on Magic the Amateuring this week. It's like it's not a pro player, and it's not somebody who's traditionally, like, a member of the professional Magic community.
Absolutely, which makes it a real out-of-left-field guess.
Yeah, it's just, like, coming on, it's coming in hot. He's coming in hot.
Out of left field.
Out of left field.
Running.
Running.
Which is, I think, what you do when you're in left field.
Yeah, or you just sit around and do nothing, right? Or is
it's
that right
one
field?
One of those two things.
I don't know, baseball. Anyway, it's my friend Jared, who I knew in a past life, who is now known as Pro Jared on YouTube and has a lot of subscribers and makes video game reviews, which are just amazing. If you haven't checked out his work yet, you should really go and check it out. And I was I became reacquainted with you, Jared, when, like, you were opening a booster box on your stream. And I was like, oh, we should have Jared on the show. So welcome.
Yeah. Hi. It's good to see you again, Maria.
Yeah, good to see you too.
And nice meeting you, Megan. And hello, everyone out there. Brief introduction about myself. My name is Jared. I go by Pro Jared on YouTube. I'm also part of Normal Boots, which is a bunch of YouTuber guys. I'm alongside Did You Know Gaming, JonTron, Peanut Butter Gamer, The Completionist, Continue, and Satchbag.
That's a mouthful.
I talk a lot about video games, and I've also talked about a love I have for a lot of tabletop stuff, including Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering.
That's right, and I wanted to talk to you partially too, not only because, like, your reviews are so great, and I want to talk a little bit about that, but also because you're, like, a kitchen table Magic player, and I think sometimes, you know, they can kind of get lost in the shuffle of Magic the Gathering podcasts, and we don't sometimes think about the more casual players since we've become so embroiled with, like, the tournament scene and everything.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like, what's it like to be somebody who plays at home and occasionally goes to F&M, and how is Magic treating you these days, you know?
For the most part, I just like opening booster boxes. That's like, I think that's the most fun I have. I usually try to get a couple of my friends together, and we just open boxes. Because I know, like you said, a lot of the more hardcore players will basically look at the spoiler lists and net deck as much as possible and try to come up with the best possible idea and then create that idea. Whereas I just like getting two boxes without looking at spoilers, not knowing what I'm going to get, and then seeing what I have after that and trying to cobble something together. So I have a lot of fun playing limited because of that. I also like booster drafts are super fun, sealed, etc. I don't go to Friday Night Magic a whole lot unless I'm going with friends so we can do the booster drafts. Especially if there's ever two-headed giant. I love doing two-headed giant, too.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool. Why the Oath of the Gatewatch was so good.
Because it was made for two-headed giant at the pre-release.
Yeah, that was great.
I watched you opening a Shadows Over Innistrad booster box, and it was kind of fun to see you, like, because you hadn't... Megan and I, of course, are in the camp of, like, we go and look at the spoilers, and we're like...
Yeah, ooh. The minute they're up, we are buried in that.
Yes. Buried appropriate because of Innistrad.
Yes.
Anyway, but it was really fun to see you kind of like, you had no idea about the mechanics. You're like, ooh, look at this. There's you know, double-sided cards or whatever. And it just was like, am I missing out on some of the joy of life by, like, reading it?
It's like Christmas. You don't want to know what's in your boxes and gifts before you open them. And that's kind of the mindset I go into this. It's like, I don't want to know anything about it. So everything's super new or exciting. I'm like, ooh, instead of knowing ahead of time, oh, this is stupid, or oh, this is great. That way I actually kind of take the time to examine each card and be like, oh, can I use this for anything? Nope. Next, move on.
We're like the kids who at Christmas go looking for where their parents have hid the gift.
Yeah.
And we find them.
Yeah.
You like shake it a little bit and just study the size and see if it's something you actually wanted.
Exactly.
This one looks like a bike.
if we didn't know that was a bike, there is a problem. Yeah.
Look, do you know what? I can't tell shapes if I'm looking at them while they're wrapped, okay?
Oh, wow.
You know, you can wrap a box, and I can't tell you if it's a cube anymore. I'm not entirely sure.
You don't see shape.
No, I don't see
when
shape.
When wrapped.
So when people wear clothing, I can't tell what they look like. My God.
We're all amorphous blobs.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's a plus or a minus, actually.
You know, time will tell.
Okay. So, Jared, you're like a video game reviewer extraordinaire. I'm going to give you that title.
Thanks.
You're welcome. How would you talk about Magic if, say, you're like making a review of Magic the game?
Well, I actually did exactly that.
What?
One of my favorite videos I ever got to do was when I talked about a Magic the Gathering PC game from 1996. It's called Magic the Gathering Chandelure, and it's the best Magic the Gathering game they've ever made. Because it's like full-on RPG style, where you pick a color to start with, and you have a really sucky deck. And to give you an idea of how old it is, I think the sets it has only goes up until maybe Mirage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's all older cards, which is how I started. So you go from town to town to like purchase new cards and get quests from old guys, which allows you to increase your maximum life, or also allows you to get rare cards. And then you like the random encounters are with creatures representing the five different colors. And as you defeat those creatures, you weaken the Grand Wizard and lower their maximum life total for when you finally face them inside of dungeons. And you go inside of dungeons and like solve riddles and stuff and find treasures with rare cards and stuff. It's so cool.
And not at all like a game of Magic.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like a really cool take on it that they never really explored again. They did two other Magic the Gathering video games aside from that, before the Duels of the Planeswalker series. But yeah, that original one was basically me being like, man, I want to talk about Magic. Yo, do you ever play this game?
That sounds super exciting, because I feel like Duels of the Planeswalkers, while it is, I think, like, I played it a lot more when I was learning how to play,
yeah,
is like, you know, interesting, but it is very much tuned
just
towards, like,
learn.
Teaching you how to play Magic. Yeah. Whereas this is like sounds like its own whole deal
yeah.
going
this
on.
This one basically expects you to already know what you're doing because it is hard. There's a, after you, minor spoilers, I guess, for a 1996 Magic game that no one's ever played.
Watch out, everybody.
Yeah, after you defeat all the Grand Wizards, you have one more final super boss fight against like the Great Demon Fiend or whatever. He has 300 life, and the game just tells you how low can you get him before you die.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
So you can't, like, ever beat him?
I actually did.
What?
I cheese. Okay, so again, it's also, like, all the old cards, so you can get, like, the Power 9 really easily. So, like, all my deck was, like, all Black Lotuses, all the Moxes, like, Dark Rituals, whatever. I was using Time Walks left and right. Like, I was able to cheese myself around it, but, yeah, that's basically how you get your high scores. How much life can you take off his total?
Whoa, okay, so how are you able to play this game? This game's, like, not playable now, is it?
It's not compatible. I had to create a virtual Windows 95 machine. It was a huge pain, even more difficult to actually get to record properly for the sake of video. It took some doing, but I got it.
How could people find this? Because it sounds super entertaining.
It's abandonware now, so...
I mean, how can they find your video review?
Oh, just search Pro Jared Magic, and it'll probably be the first thing that comes up.
Okay.
Yeah, just search Pro Jared Magic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So if you were, like, wanting to create a game that would get you more involved in Magic, because obviously right now Magic Online exists, as does Duels of the Planeswalkers, which you say you've played a couple of times, but is kind of more... learning how to play the game rather than giving you kind of an immersive experience. What would you want as like a more casual player?
Honestly, basically what I just described, make a new Chandelure game. Because it was just, especially with how much deep they're going into the lore now with their different planes and very specific hero planeswalkers or whatever, man, they can make some really cool stuff. Make a game where you play as Jace and you actually travel around Zendikar or whatever, and you actually get to explore these worlds or have to like plane travel to another one to get other heroes or whatever. If you find a way to make it co-op in any kind of capacity, I'm there.
I would play the shit out of it, like a Jace on Innistrad, like the current mystery story arc.
Yeah, especially if they play up the like mystery.
Yeah,
you're actually collecting the clues and stuff.
Oh man, I would 100% play that.
And you could play as like Nahiri, or you could play as like Liliana,
Sorin.
Or Sorin.
Oh snap! All right,
great idea.
That's actually super interesting because I feel like people talk about bringing back old stuff all the time. People are like, "Oh, are you ever going to do another Unset or Unhinged or whatever or stuff like that?" And I don't know that like enough people are being like, "Do you know what we really want? Is like an immersive video game like Chandelure was."
That'd be so crazy.
Like an adventure-based one, I think, would be really cool.
Yeah. Ah, snap. An Innistrad would be perfect.
I want to destroy a cathedral like Nahiri. Just blow it up!
Yeah, she can have a particular, like, each character has a different, like, goal, and Nahiri's is just destroy cathedrals?
Destroy every... What if they each had a different goal? Destroy everything.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know. We're getting pretty deep on this.
Anyways. Yeah. It's because of a sweet idea. Anyways.
What's been your favorite set recently that you've played, like, you've drafted or whatever?
Recently...
Or ever, really.
Okay. Ever is a little easier to say. So I fell out of the Magic scene for a little bit, starting around 2004, 2005 or so. And then I kind of got back into it around 2011. So like, there's a huge time and space there where I just lost it. But one I really did enjoy playing was the Invasion set. Just because I really like the idea of kicker costs, both mechanically and thematically. Just mechanically, because it makes a card possibly worthwhile in both early game or late game. But even just thematically, just the idea of pumping more mana into a creature or spell makes it more powerful. I think that's kind of a cool idea.
And so it makes sense, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I liked Invasion a lot. I had a lot of fun with that one.
We weren't around for Invasion, but man, we have experienced kicker in sets like Modern Masters when they'll re-release old cards. Did you play around with Modern Masters at all?
I haven't at all yet, mostly because I wasn't quite sure what it was. But then I finally looked into it, and I was like, "Oh, this sounds dope!" So I do.
It is pretty dope.
At some point, I want to get some. I want to get a bunch of friends together and do like our own Modern Masters draft or something.
We have to, we support that fully because Modern Masters is amazing.
A lot of fun.
Especially the first one.
Yeah.
Which is quite expensive.
Yes.
Okay.
The second one's not as good, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
But Modern Masters have been just fantastic draft formats.
Super interesting.
And like you get to play with old cards that, you know, you're not familiar with and I don't know. It was crafted specifically to be a draft. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's
super sweet.
But it's kind of telling that you're like, I didn't know what that was. I mean,
yeah.
It's just something to think about from like a standpoint of, you know, marketing or whatever. Like, oh, this is a random set, just one of comes out. Boop, yeah. Modern Masters. What is this?
That's true.
Okay.
I honestly thought it was the decks or whatever of the Grand Prix. Like top 16 dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Each card's like signed in gold by them. I thought it was that kind of stuff.
That used to be a thing.
Did it?
Yeah.
People signed their decks?
Do they not do that anymore?
No.
No.
You used to be able to buy like the champion decks or whatever they were. And it was like, this is the deck I used to win the Magic World Tour in 1998 or whatever. And like each card had like his gold signature stamped on it.
Man, they definitely don't do that anymore. Probably because the decks would cost like $900.
Yeah. Although I think didn't they have like a special gold border on them?
Yeah. So they made them so like
they weren't standard playable.
Okay, I see. Yeah. So you just played them for fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Right. But I feel like now they just have so many events. Like they have four pro tours.
Yeah.
Every year, so that'd be a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we're getting ready for a big tournament in Minneapolis up here at the end of the month, GP Minneapolis. Yeah.
Oh.
And we're going to have to play some standard, which
we don't
normally play.
I'm very excited.
Megan's pumped.
I'm pumped.
Worried. Oh, boy. So we got to get you out for a GP sometime, Jared. You can experience
it. I would legitimately love to do that. There was a, I believe it was, I don't know, maybe it was a Grand Prix or maybe a Pro Tour. I don't know what. There was something here in Texas recently in Houston.
Oh, yes, we were there. That
oh,
was
were
a
you guys
Grand
really?
Prix. Yes, we were.
I was there.
What? Oh, shut
yeah,
up.
It was like it was connected right next to an anime convention.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I was there for that anime convention, and I was like, I'm bored. I heard there's a Magic Hall somewhere. I went over there, and it's this huge, massive, sprawling hall with like hundreds of people all playing Magic, and I was like, oh, damn. If only I had known, I would have showed up with my Eldrazi deck and got stomped.
Actually, Eldrazi was the deck to play at that tournament.
Yeah.
So
wait, no, was it? It was standard.
It was.
Yeah. So it wasn't Eldrazi's.
What was
there
it?
There were some Eldrazi's.
There were
it
running
was
around.
Four color rally.
Oh yeah, rally. That's what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got really sick at that GP. was terrible.
Yeah. Maria got an absurd stomach flu.
Yeah. Ooh, terrible, but it was fun, and Megan wrote all about what happened down there, and
it was a good time.
It was crazy, because there was that anime convention, which was just huge going on.
It was enormous. Yeah.
And we're like, this is awesome. I wish Magic always had, like, an anime convention tacked onto it, like, next door.
I feel like we had the same experience looking at that as you had looking at the Magic Hall.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, what?
Cool.
It was awesome.
So we have invited you here to play a game that we like to call Magic Mad Libs, Jared.
Okay.
We've taken flavor text from various cards in Shadows over Innistrad, and we are going to replace them with words that you give us.
Absolutely. Actually, also, since I'm the Mad Libs master,
you're the Mad Libs master.
This time
okay,
around,
okay.
You can also give words.
I can play?
There's a lot. I did several cards.
Okay.
So you can both play.
Sometimes these turn out to be great. Sometimes they are disasters.
And am I allowed to make all my words magic based, or can it just be
you can do whatever anything. You'd like anything at all, right. Anything great. At all, the world is your oyster.
Okay.
All right, I need several adjectives to start off.
Several. Okay.
Yeah.
Humongous.
Blatant.
All right.
So that's an adjective, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One more.
Abhorrent.
And a celebrity.
Ooh.
Orlando Bloom. He's still relevant, right?
Wow. Wow.
Still relevant. What was the last thing Orlando Bloom did?
Who even knows?
Looked beautiful is the answer.
Oh,
Megan.
He did those. Yeah. He was in the most recent Lord of the Rings, but the other part, The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they forced him in there. That's right.
Yeah, yes, they really they did. They really shoehorned him in. Okay, and I need like a job title.
Oh, okay. Janitor.
That's actually what I was going for, too.
Are you serious?
Perfect.
Yeah, I was like, oh, what's at the bottom of the ladder?
All right, I need two more jobs.
Oh, titles or like
just like jobs? Just any jobs.
Or just jobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Milkmaid.
Okay.
Got milkmaid?
Yep.
It's a proper job.
Financial planner.
And an activity.
Eating Cheez-Its.
Perfect.
Sorry, I'm on a crazy diet right now. That's all I can think about.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's 3 p.m. I gotta go eat my Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its sound amazing. I love Cheez-Its. Okay, I need a noun.
Oh,
we're going through all of these.
Oh, we're
all
doing
at once.
All the cards at once.
And then we'll read them all.
Okay.
Should we pause? I can pause.
No, we got it. We got
okay.
it. Chubb-toed.
Chubb-toed.
Great noun.
A time of day.
Oh, the witching hour.
Ass crack of dawn.
No, ass crack of dawn.
Okay. I need a part of the body.
Oh, boy.
I need two different parts of body.
Left butt cheek.
All right. And another one.
The uvula.
What?
The uvula. Megan, point to your uvula right now.
I'm going to keep asking you guys questions.
All right. It's a dangly thing in the back of your throat.
I need two activities.
Jump roping.
And one more.
Spanking it. With an apostrophe.
Yep, I got it.
Thank you.
I would never dream of putting a G on that spanking.
Nobody's like, what did you do last night? Oh, I was spanking it.
I was spanking it. You're like, oh, you're spanking. A liar.
I need a noun.
Nasal spray.
And great. Another part of body.
God, Megan.
These are going to be good, you guys. I promise.
All right. That one weird mole on your lower back.
Okay.
Perfect.
And I need a name.
Urza.
And a place.
The moon.
With like four O's.
And a job.
Jeez.
Indiana Jones.
Yep.
So archaeologist.
Yeah. I'm gonna put archaeologist.
Fine. I was
all
being
right.
really specific.
We're almost there, you guys.
Okay.
I need another noun.
Oh boy.
Gum.
All right. A non-geographic place.
Non-geographic?
Yeah.
Oh, so
gotcha.
Like Chuck E. Cheese.
Sure.
Nailed it.
Another noun.
Your mom.
Yeah, okay. And one more noun.
Pants.
A name.
Queen Biscuit.
A place.
Any place?
Yes.
Taj Mahal.
And a job.
Detective.
All right, here we go, you guys. You've done some wonderful work, both of you.
Yes,
both
applause for that.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Okay, the first one is Cathar's Companion.
Ooh, it's a little puppy dog.
It is a puppy dog.
I've got this card.
Yeah.
Humongous and blatant, they represent...
Wait, read their original first.
Oh, unwavering and loyal, they represent stability in uncertain times. Rem Corollis, Slayer of Angels.
Whoa.
So... humongous and blatant, they represent the abhorrent in uncertain times. Orlando Bloom, janitor.
That card's from the future.
That's what he's doing now.
That's what he's up to. All right, now I have a Lamplighter of Selhoff. For stitchers and necro-alchemists, it's important that work can continue at all hours.
Hmm.
For milkmaids and financial planners, it's important that work... Wait, no. It's important that eating Cheez-Its can continue at all hours.
So true. So true.
Really, yeah, for all of
what
us.
You're doing.
Really, for all of us.
Specifically financial planners.
Yeah. Yes. Stressful.
Throttle. Victim discovered at dawn with mouth agape and eyes bulging. No evidence of blood loss or dismemberment. Severe bruising around the neck. Valen, Thraben Inspector.
Ooh.
And now.
Oh, God.
You can do it, Megan. I believe in you. It is kind of funny.
You need to stop.
But it's funny.
Okay. I'm done. Chubtoad. Chubtoad discovered it.
Do you want me to read it? Chubtoad discovered at ass crack of dawn.
Chubtoad discovered at ass crack of dawn with left butt cheek agape.
Oh, God!
Oh.
And uvula bulging. No evidence of jump roping or spanking it. Severe nasal spray around that one weird mole on its back. Urza, moon archaeologist.
It's my new life goal. Moon archaeologist.
Moon archaeologist.
Oh my God, I wish police reports read like that. Like, they're just like, yeah, fuck it. Like,
I'll give it one more read through because I could not hold it together the first time. Chubtoad right. Discovered at ass crack of dawn with left butt cheek agape and uvula bulging. No evidence of jump roping or spanking it. Nasal spray around that one weird mole on its back. Urza, moon archaeologist.
Oh, yeah.
Moon archaeologist is my favorite.
Finally, we have Harness the Storm.
Ooh.
There is no place like a rooftop laboratory in a lightning storm. It's where genius strikes. Rena Selhoff, alchemist. There is no thumb like a Chuck E. Cheese in a your mom's pants. It's where genius strikes. Queen Biscuit, Taj Mahal detective.
Okay, you have to choose moon archaeologist or Taj Mahal detective. What are you gonna be?
Oh, shit.
Screw that, I'm sticking with moon archaeologist.
Taj Mahal detective for me. It sounds like a lot of fun.
I don't know if you're gonna have a lot to detect, but you can make your own.
Exactly.
It's for when the Taj Mahal sends you out to find clues.
Oh.
On their behalf.
Yes.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You're detective of Taj Mahal.
Whatever as hired that means. By them.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, thank you for joining us, Jared, yes. And playing our Magic Mad Libs with us. I knew you would be a perfect guest for this game.
Absolutely. So
thank
delightful.
Thanks for having me.
So if people want to find you and watch your stuff, which is great, P.S., do it, how can they find you?
Go to youtube.com/DMJared or just search ProJared on YouTube. You'll see all my stuff. I highly recommend the Magic video. It's one of my favorites.
Okay, we're going
to
get
up.
We're
watching a good one
this.
To start off with.
Okay. Absolutely. You heard it here. Go watch the Chandelier video.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
We're doing it in about 5 minutes, so.
Yeah. Let me know what you think.
I will. For the Noobs.
Hey, everybody. Today on For the Noobs, we're going to talk about Virulent Plague because it is a card that is seeing some play out of people's sideboards and standard right now because it is very effective against different token-based strategies.
Green-white tokens is the scourge of the earth.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of other decks that use tokens as well. Green-black Sacrifice yep. is one that does. If people are trying to, you know, eventually in the late game, activate Westvale Abbey and make clerics to eventually sack it. It's very good against that.
Ooh.
So saucy. For those of you who do not know the card, Virulent Plague is 2 and a black. All creature tokens get -2/-2. So this is actually creates some sometimes super interesting interactions.
Question. Instant? Question mark.
It's an enchantment.
It's just always out there, man. Sick.
It is just always there. So for instance, if you have a Chandra in play and your opponent has a Virulent Plague, hopefully you don't have both Virulent Plague and Chandra in play because that's a little wacky. Chandra can still tick up and make 2/3/1 elementals. But they immediately die.
They're just like, hi!
Exactly. And so the way that Virulent Plague works is that it's creating what's called, like, or they, it's part of what's called state-based effects, which means that it just happens and it's not something that you can respond to.
So it's like puberty.
Exactly. It just happens.
Just happens.
You can't respond to it.
I mean, I tried to have get out of puberty. No.
No. You just have to suffer through it. Just like tokens have to suffer through virulent plagues.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, you know, because that they just exist and then they cease to be.
Exactly. And so that's important. So say that for some reason you had some weird sort of sacrifice outlet in your red deck with Chandra in it. You would not be able to sacrifice those
in
tokens
response.
Before they died. Exactly.
Yep.
It just happens. It doesn't go on the stack. It's not, again, you can't respond to it. Those tokens, they hit the field and are gone.
So question, what does this look like on Magic Online?
On Magic Online, like the tokens, you will never see them in play.
Sad in a way.
they flicker into existence and are immediately snuffed out.
So there's like nothing that is just like nothing happened.
No,
she
it'll,
just ticks
like it'll
up.
Show up in the little log,
right.
You know, on the side where it says Chandra creates 2/3/1 elementals. But you never get to see them.
Man, couldn't even have a funeral, you know?
So the reason why this is actually super interesting in current standard, though, is because, as I mentioned, Green-Black Sacrifice is also a deck that makes tokens, whether it's off of something like a Blister Pod that when it dies
yep.
creates a Scion, or a Catacomb Sifter, which creates a Scion when it enters the battlefield. The way that works is if Virulent Plague is in play, and you have nothing else, right? You play a Catacomb Sifter. Same thing. The token just
yep.
dies. And
yep.
a Scion is very relevant. You can't sack that thing for mana.
No,
it's just gone.
Pew!
It looks at itself and says, I have 0 or less toughness. I'm not allowed to exist.
Wow.
You are not allowed to exist. Therefore, get out of here.
That's how I felt in gym class, you know?
Yeah.
0 or less toughness.
I'm really sorry that was
you
should have
seen
experience.
Me trying to play basketball. What a joke.
But it's super relevant if you have a, Nanticle Husk, if you have a Zulaport Cutthroat in play.
Yes.
Because the Zulaport Cutthroat says if it or another creature dies, your opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
Right.
Zulaport Cutthroat does see that creature die. It
yeah.
sees that token die. So you will still get triggers off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, you know, it's a very important interaction because it means, like, in the case of the green-black deck, those are points of damage, or in this case, like, life drain and gain, that matter very much to the deck. So just as a point, you know, of clarification, Zulaport Cutthroat sees everybody die.
Yeah, it's like a brutal,
even
brutal
tokens
job.
That are dying as part of state-based effects.
What if it was your job to see everybody die? Like death. I suppose it's death's job.
It is death's job.
It's a... Ugh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's a grim...
Reaper.
It's a grim thing. It's a grim thing to see everybody die. Yeah.
So the stack is something tricky. If you're a newer Magic player, just keep in mind that it will become more and more clear as you continue to play, especially if you're using Magic Online, which makes this, using the stack very, very clear because exactly. It's a literal stack that you can see on your screen of different actions that are happening.
And then sometimes things happen outside of the stack, like state-based effects, which is what this is part of. You never get to see it happen. Only that Zulaport cutthroat sees it happen.
That's weird.
Oh, that's why it's draining your opponent. It's just, it's part of it, like, suffering a little bit.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, you made me see this happen. I take one life from you.
Does he have little death binoculars?
Yeah.
He can see better than everybody else.
He has a death telescope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the stack and state-based effects are very interesting and very complicated.
Yes.
We've been wanting to get Judge Rob on here to talk about layers for a long time.
Oh, God. Let's not even... If we say the word layers one more time, we'll both explode.
Yeah. We can't say it in a mirror for sure.
No.
Or the layers will come and crush us.
And then crush us. They'll crawl out of the mirror.
Creepy.
That is creepy.
Ooh.
Mirrors are creepy.
What?
Don't you think mirrors are kind of creepy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that somebody made a mirror that doesn't flip your reflection and it's like how other people see you?
That's crazy.
Somebody made it and looking into it is like really weird.
So it's like a photograph.
Yes. Yeah. And like somebody, I heard about it on Radiolab, I think. Uh-huh. And somebody like looked into it and was like, my God, that's a monster. And it's all because we don't see ourselves except for in photographs? Like, that's what we really are.
No, that's true. I'm constantly confused by pictures of myself.
What do you mean?
I'm like, who's that person?
Well, you get yourself confused with people on the street, so...
I do?
Well, you know, you're like looking at that person. You're like, oh, look, it's almost me. Do you remember that time?
What? No.
We were driving by and I was like, look, Megan, it's you. And you're like, oh, yeah. Wait, I'm in the car.
I don't remember this.
It was somebody who looked a lot like you.
That's crazy. Did you ever meet that one girl from Houston who was here for the improv festival who sounded exactly like me and like cadence and like voice and everything?
No, but I heard tales.
It was terrifying.
Does she have a mustache?
It was truly terrifying.
Like, is she alternate universe you?
I thought you were saying that I had a mustache.
Megan.
It was really hard for a second. I was like, what the?
I've been wanting to talk to you about something.
All right. So, everybody, that's state-based effects, and as they relate to Virulent Plague and current standard. So, keep it in mind, Zulaport Cutthroat sees everybody die, but you can't sacrifice those tokens.
GP Toronto, eh?
Hey, everybody. GP Toronto was last weekend.
Yes, it certainly was.
It was a standard Grand Prix.
Frozen North.
Absolutely. Even in the month of May,
yeah. Canada.
Toronto never unfreezes.
We're going to get so much hate mail from Canadian listeners.
The entire country of Canada is under a thick layer of permafrost.
Mm-hmm.
They all huddle together around their tiny camp stoves and sing their national anthem.
Oh, Canada, you're cold and you're cold.
Oh, I was thinking... Call Me Maybe.
Oh, yeah, that is okay. The Canadian national anthem.
Absolutely.
The national, written by Sum 41, the national band.
So, Sum 41.
They're still around, by the way.
Okay.
Sum 41.
I believe you.
Yep.
So many people braved the harsh Canadian April, May winter.
They mushed their way to the GP.
Exactly. Thousands of sled dogs were gathered outside the convention center.
That would be so cute!
It really would be. I've looked into volunteering at the Iditarod before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
Also really intense, but really awesome.
Man, if you're going to go do the Iditarod, like, you get like 3 hours of sleep a night and then you're mushing those dogs.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't compete in it. I'd be a volunteer.
I thought you were going to volunteer as one of the dogs. You could wear the little booties.
Yep. I mean, as long as I get to wear booties, I'll be good.
Okay.
So anyways, it was, as we mentioned, standard. And at the end of the day, dragons reigned
supreme. Yeah, that was kind of interesting because there's a bunch of decks that we did not see at the Pro Tour, and it's kind of interesting to sort of take the temperature, as it were, of the standard meta 1 week after the Pro Tour and see how people react. Like, are they playing a lot of the deck that won the Pro Tour, which is green-white tokens? Or are they going to play a deck that's very strong against green-white tokens?
Is everybody panicking, as they did after the last Modern Pro Tour?
Oh, gosh. No, I don't think so. Thank goodness we're not having another Eldrazi winter.
Absolutely. Ooh.
But there were, like, what was it? 39 of the top 100 decks were green-white tokens.
And if you look at, like, 9 through 32 on Daily MTG, it literally is, like, it'll be, like, you know, X deck. And then green-white tokens, Y deck, green-white tokens, Z deck, green-white tokens.
Oh, it's boy.
Like, actually every other deck
tokens, in tokens the top everywhere.
32 is green-white tokens.
Tokens was not, however, what won the GP.
That's right. An Esper Dragons deck piloted by Robert Lombardi.
The famously the son of Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, definitely.
Who coached the Green Bay Packers.
That's definitely true.
Yep, that's a fact.
So this obviously is a little bit more of a control deck. It is playing lots of things like Languish to kill things. It's playing Clash of Wills and Ultimate Price and Grasp of Darkness and Foul Tongue Invocations to sort of take care, clean up their opponent's boards, and then finishing them off with Dragonlord Ojutai and Dragonlord Silumgar.
Silumgar. Yeah, so this is your classic control build. It also has Kalitas in it, Traitor of Ghent, which is very good against your deck, Megan.
It's very true. Man, for those of you who don't know, Kalitas says that if a creature your opponent controls would die, exile it instead, and they get a zombie, which means no Zulaport Cutthroat triggers for you, and no Catacomb Sifter triggers for you, and no Blister Pod triggers, and no Liliana triggers for anybody.
Yeah, I mistakenly was playing Green Black Sacrifice to prepare for Community Super League last week.
Yeah.
And I sacked everything to my Westvale Abbey, and I was like, wait, what's happening? Nothing's happening.
Nothing happened.
Because so they had a Kalitas so in play. Sad. It's a real dumb dumb by me.
Can Foul Tongue Invocation you.
Yeah.
If you're not wary.
Foul Tongue Invocation, if you can't remember, is 2 and a black instant. You can show off a dragon from your hand as an additional cost to cast it. It makes
show
somebody
off a dragon. Yeah,
that's what the
here's the dragon in my
I think
hand.
That's the rules text.
Deal
show
with
it off.
They
make a little presentation.
The oracle text says show off a dragon.
Target player sacrifices a creature, and if you revealed a if you showed off a dragon card or controlled a dragon, you gain four life.
Gain four life, which is very important along with Kalitas in these control decks, is to have some way to gain life, especially when a deck like green white tokens or even like mono white humans really pressures your life total so much early on in the game. If you know stabilize at like 3 life, there's you know they could always maybe secure the wastes, and then if you only have a Languish in hand, you know, you just die.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to find some ways to gain life back so that even if you stabilize right on the brink of death, you're able to claw your way out of that hole. Exactly.
So this is a deck that we were alluding to before that was not seen at the Pro Tour, mm-hmm. at least not in the top 8. White-black control.
Absolutely. This plays lots of Planeswalkers. It's a super friends type of deck.
Yeah.
Because it has 3 Gideons, 3 Obnixilis, and 2 Sorins.
That is a strange combination of Planeswalkers, like if they were really teaming
if
up.
If they were really teaming up. Didn't Obnixilis spend a lot of time torturing Gideon recently?
Yeah.
I feel like this deck is probably has a little bit of a flavor loss in that case.
F. Flavor exactly. F.
And Sorin, why is he helping anybody?
I don't know.
He seems pretty Innistrad-centric.
Yeah, he's kind of just, like, brooding.
He's very brooding.
Sad.
In kind of like a heavy metal sort of way.
What?
Have you looked at his art?
Yeah.
He looks a little metal.
Sorin looks a little metal.
Look at him. You could easily change that sword out for a guitar.
Oh, yeah, you could. You really could. He looks very 80s metal.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, who cares about contemporary metal? I'm talking about hair metal.
Okay, I see it.
Right?
This deck only plays three creatures, of course, Kalitas.
Yep, good against, again, for life gain and against some parts of the field.
So we're getting controlling with a lot of these builds here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Planar Outburst, Read the Bones, Ruinous Path, Languish, Secure the Waste, Ultimate Price, Grasp, Anguished Unmaking. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, okay.
Absolutely. It also uses three copies of Westvale Abbey to go with those four copies of Secure the Wastes.
Because, yeah, what else are you doing if you're not winning with Westvale Abbey these days?
I know. What are you going to do?
Get on the train.
Westvale Abbey. That Ormondel, that bro likes to stick around.
Yeah, he does.
He says, hey, man, I'm indestructible.
You can bounce me.
Indestructible. Anyways.
Yeah, so, I don't know, control, what do we have here? Naya tokens.
Mm.
Interesting.
Spicy. What kind of red cards are they playing? Chandra Flamecaller.
I mean...
No big surprise.
Chandra, you just gotta... I mean, if you're going Naya, you're probably playing Chandra.
Yeah, that does seem, as far as I can tell, looking at this list, that's the red card.
Yep, that's it.
I mean, and again...
There's pretty, Needle Spires, I mean...
Well, I mean, that also gives the red mana.
Yeah.
It's a red creature, technically, once you turn it on.
And we're just playing everything good because we have two Archangel Avacyn, Sylvan Advocate, which I see, it all seems like everybody's playing.
Everybody and their mother is playing Sylvan Advocate.
Hangerback Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems almost pretty much like the tokens deck. It just has some Chandra action.
Chandra action in it. Then we have
green-white tokens. Mono-white humans. We've seen that deck. Grixis control.
Ooh, interesting. So tell me a little bit about this black-blue-red control deck.
Okay, so we've got Chandra, of course. If you're playing red, are you playing Chandra? Well, you should be.
And you know, the more that I look at the art of that Chandra Flamecaller, the more I'm just like, yeah, of course. Like, she looks badass.
Yeah, she does.
And I know technically she, like, that in the background is the bismuth that Kozilek and his brood make, but she, it looks a little bit, like, if you're not quite looking at it, like, she could be in, like, Manhattan or something.
That would be
like
sweet.
They're like big towering buildings behind her.
I know magic goes to a lot of planes, but when is it going to go to Earth?
Just our plane.
Wouldn't that be kind of funny?
That would be so weird.
Like, there's so then we would just be fighting with like squirrels and rabbits and Elmers and humans.
It'd be very creature centric.
I feel like someday magic's going to jump the shark, and they're definitely going to do that.
So it'll be the first one that they do once they jump the shark.
Yeah.
That's how everybody will know.
Yeah.
It'll be the litmus test. Oh,
they really ran out of ideas.
All right, I guess it's all downhill from now. From here, everybody sell your collections, because...
Yeah, that would be weird. I mean, like, the Westvale Abbey would be like, the White House. I'm just going to Congress.
Oh, gosh. So this plays a lot of greatest hits.
Yeah.
Jace Vryn's Prodigy, obviously, for Kalitas, for Goblin Dark Dwellers.
I mean, this was a card a lot of people thought they were going to see more of.
Yeah, absolutely. And this does seem like, finally, you know, it's a card that you can struggle a little bit to find the best home for. But this does seem like a good one because you have a lot of great instants that you can flash back. Fiery Impulse, Grasp of Darkness, Colligan's Command, and Ultimate Price. So much value. Also Transgress the Mind, Read the Bones, and Ruinous Path.
Yeah.
Like, just so much value to get back with that dark Goblin Dark Dwellers.
They don't have eyes.
Just well, I mean, they out. Dwell in the dark. You don't need eyes if you live your life in
the
dark.
Two Dragonlords, Silumgar, of course.
Silumgar.
This deck, not playing Westvale Abbey because...
How's it ever going to have enough creatures, bro?
They don't. That's not what they do. Green-white tokens again. And white-black control rounding out the top eight of GP Toronto. This white-black control notably has Eldrazi Displacer in it and Wasteland Strangler.
Ooh,
as well as Thought Not Seer. So this is kind of a little bit more of an Eldrazi-ish sort of build.
Yeah, it has a little bit of colorless synergies going on.
Eldrazi Displacer, great, of course, against Westvale Abbey. Great against black-green tokens or black green, sorry, sacrifice. Just a good card all around.
Quite good.
Anyway, so sadly my white blue humans are not here, which is kind of the deck I was leaning a little more towards. But
there are still some aggro decks here.
Mono white humans.
Mono white humans and green white tokens is an aggro deck.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I'm sure there's gonna be a flavor of aggro for you.
I've got to make a choice at some point. I mean, the GP Minneapolis, end of the month.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's looming.
It is looming.
It is.
In a good way.
Yeah. Things can loom in a good way.
What? When have you ever said, my wedding is looming? Yay!
I would say that my wedding was looming. I mean, it totally, what? It can totally be possible.
Example.
GP Minneapolis is looming.
That sounds bad.
Oh man, look at this great rug that someone loomed for me.
this rug is looming. Exactly. Currently looming.
Look, she's looming such a great rug over there.
Yeah, okay, I'll accept that. Community Super League Week 2.
That's right, everybody. On the back of our victorious performance in last week's Community Super League, we are eagerly preparing for this week's challenge.
Yes, Innistrad Plane Constructed. What the heck does that mean, Megan?
It means that cards from the original Innistrad block, which includes Innistrad, Dark Ascension, and Avacyn Restored, in the current Innistrad block, which right now just includes Shadows over Innistrad, are legal, with the exception of the block banned list, which is Lingering Souls in Intangible Virtue.
Yep.
Because those two cards
Yikes.
Were bonkers.
Ooh. We don't want to create quite a mess in this Super League with cards like that, just mowing everybody down.
Exactly. It would really tear people to pieces.
So we've been brewing. Megan's putting her little brewmaster hat on.
That's right, which is not a hat that I have worn often.
That's true.
It is a rare hat for the members of MTA Cast.
So there's some obvious things that you can look at when you're thinking about doing Innistrad Plane Constructed, like going along archetypes, or
Absolutely.
Like, you know, humans is a very
humans,
obvious one.
Very strong.
And probably really good, probably zombies. Better than every other deck. Zombies, of course. Yes. Vampires.
You could look at some of the very powerful cards, like Craterhoof Behemoth.
Yep. Oh.
You could
Craterhoof, I love you! Sorry, I just had to get that out. You know?
So super powerful cards like that you can build around.
Yeah.
I'm very much hoping that someone brings a spider spawning constructed deck to the table.
Oh, they have to, right?
They have to, right?
That's going
to
be so good.
I really hope so.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be good, but it'd be
some
excellent.
Sort of like blue-green laboratory maniac spider spawning deck.
Megan, we should make it just in case nobody puts it in.
What? Okay.
Just because, like, what if nobody does? And then we're going to be like, oh.
Oh, no.
Because okay. That'd be cool.
Well, I'll submit it as the, I'll be like, Randy, if nobody else did this.
Okay.
We what's the
maybe.
Word? What's the word?
We'll play it. Oh, audible. We call an audible.
Exactly. A word which I have misused and used correctly many times.
Well done.
The past few weeks. Thank you.
Megan was sort of drawn to brew. She was drawn to the brew.
I was.
By a certain strategy from original Innistrad.
That's right. It's a very silly deck. That was very much crafted around the original Innistrad block constructed, because this is back when there were block pro tours.
Yes.
Which came at the end of the expansion sets. So there is, you know, like in Return to Ravnica block pro tour, it's only cards from Return to Ravnica. Or in the case of original Innistrad, right, the Innistrad block pro tour is just cards from the original Innistrad.
Yeah.
And it was very much tuned to that metagame, but it was an absurd blue-white miracles deck that won the Innistrad Block Pro Tour, piloted by Alexander Hain.
I think that's so cool.
And it's just so silly. If you go, you can watch the deck, you can, like, watch the finals and watch this deck play out. It is so absurd and so silly and, like, so do-nothing-y. So much of the time. And I, you know, I got to see that deck as it was leaving, because it was right at the beginning of our, you know, our time.
Yeah, it was.
Playing Magic at all. And I was always like, God, I wish I had gotten to play that deck. Like,
you were just having a moment.
I really was. You know, all I want to do is draw cards and then miracle absurd spells off the top of my deck. It's a beautiful thing to behold, indeed. So, that being said, I couldn't just take that list, because where's the fun in that?
No, no fun.
Where is the excitement? So I took a particular friend from the current block that really enjoys spells. Our friend Thing in the Ice.
Thing in the Ice is here!
Thing in the Ice, and we paired Thing in the Ice with some miracles. What colors? I will not tell you yet. You will simply have to watch the Community Super League to find out. But that's just to give you a little hint about where we started on our
I was
on
trying
our
to look up
building journey.
The word miracle in magic, just in case people didn't play back then and didn't know what miracle meant. So miracle was a really cool sort of kind of gameplay, a way to mess with gameplay a little bit that Wizards used in Innistrad. And it went very well with the flavor of the set, which had Avacyn.
Which was Avacyn restored.
Restoring everything.
Lots of miracles.
So, for instance, you could play a card. Now I've got to, like, hold on. I've got to get an example.
Oh, like, a really great example that sees play in Legacy is Terminus.
Okay.
And Terminus, for its, for...
Did I spell it wrong? Terminus.
Terminus.
There it is.
So what it says is, put all creatures on the bottom of their owner's libraries. Very powerful effect, right? It even gets around creatures that are indestructible. Usually this costs 4 white and is a sorcery.
Yep.
But it has miracle for a single white.
What? That is a miracle.
And what it says, what miracle says is, you may cast this card for its miracle cost when you draw it, if it's the first card you drew this turn.
So how do we abuse this?
So the best way to abuse this is obviously making sure that you are giving yourself as many opportunities to miracle your miracle cards as there possibly are. And what that means is, as you notice, it says if it's the first card you drew this turn. So if you're using sorcery speed card draw on your own turn, yawn, boring town, you don't get no miracles off of those.
Yeah.
But if you are card drawing on your opponent's turn, you can also miracle cards on your opponent's turn.
Interesting.
So that is what a lot of miracle decks were built to do, is that they use instant speed card draw like Thought Scour. And I'm not remembering. There's another very key one that has flashback. And you use it to draw cards on your opponent's turn. Think twice. There we go. That is the best way to abuse miracles.
Is there like other spells that let you kind of like look at the top three? Like, is there Ponder is what I'm saying, and then you can put them back in any order?
No, but that is why a card like Terminus does see play in Legacy, is because Legacy does have Brainstorm.
Seems good.
So that you get to do really absurd things, like look at the three cards and then put your miracle back whenever you like where you want it, essentially. So that you can either draw it on your own turn as the first card or on your opponent's card as the first turn.
So, yeah, it could be a really fun deck. We have yet to actually play with it. So
That's true. It could be
garbage.
Total garbage. But you know what? It's my dream garbage, so.
Your dream garbage?
Yep.
Do you know what my dream garbage is?
No.
The trash compactor on the Death Star.
What?
I just want to be able to throw things down into a pit with a giant water snake.
No, that's my worst nightmare.
You're scared of that place?
What? Of course, because people can accidentally end up in it.
I don't know if it was by accident.
They jumped in the vent. Like, they opened a pride off a vent cover and jumped in.
And they're like,
because
whoops.
There were people coming down the hallway.
I'll put marked, it'll be very well marked.
Okay.
Trash compactor, giant water snake will kill you, like the nuclear symbol.
So many opportunities for foul play that doesn't, like, without retribution.
Well, yeah, that's true. It would the mafia would want to take my house in a second.
Oh god, yeah, that's like a mafia dream house.
You know what weirds me out? The fact that the mafia still exists.
Oh, it totally does.
It's not weird.
It really is.
I'm Italian, and I'm kind of like, I've probably missed my calling, you know.
As a mob member?
Yeah.
Sure.
Megan's like, yeah, go ahead. Follow your dreams, buddy.
I don't want to be a member of the mob.
Yeah.
Just letting any members of the mob who listen to this podcast know.
Do you think we have any members of the mob who listen to this podcast?
I feel like statistically it's not likely,
impossible.
But it's not unlikely.
You know, we thought for sure that there would be no listeners who listen to this podcast who have played Magic on a submarine, and there were.
Oh. So I don't know, like, what is the likelihood of being on a submarine as compared to the likelihood of being in the mob?
I don't know. It seems equal.
I really need some statistical analysis on that.
If you're
like,
a member,
how many people are in the mob versus how many people live on submarines?
Great question. And you can never know, because the mob won't be counted.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, tune in on Thursday to see how my dream garbage shapes up against some of the decks that people are going to bring to the table.
That's twitch.tv/magic, and it starts at 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Absolutely.
Any other times, figure it out yourself.
Word up.
Well, everybody, that's our show.
Thank you so much for joining us for one more week of this crazy thing we call life and Magic the Amateuring.
Yeah, it's been great to hang out with you. We sound like we're never coming on again.
It's been great knowing everybody.
I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. We hit another milestone today, actually.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. We could not do what we do without you. It means the world to us that you support us on Patreon. It's just incredible that we have such a, you know, wonderful fan base. I always say our fans are the best fans, and I always mean it, everybody.
And we always think it's true.
So thank you so much. If you're not a member yet and you want to join up, patreon.com/mtacast, there is every level of support that you can give, except for like 50 cents, because I don't know if we can go that low on Patreon.
If you're interested in getting a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at MTAcast. You can also email us at magicTheAmateuring@gmail.com. You can send us a pigeon. It'll find us.
It'll find us. Tie a little note to its tiny little foot.
And we will get that note.
We'll get it. We have a very strong smell that attracts pigeons.
Yeah. Makes life weird sometimes.
It does. It does. We just sing that song. Feed the birds, toppins the bag, toppins, toppins, toppins the bag. Oh, I was doing the end.
Oh well.
Feed. Nope. This is gonna get to the sad Titanic point.
She cries while overhead her birds fill the sky.
You know all the words?
I don't know all of them. But when we had a really crappy piano that my mom rescued from the junkyard.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, and so I taught myself how to play piano just with a couple of old music books that she had, and one of them was the Mary Poppins soundtrack.
Oh, that's cool.
So I had that, and I had the soundtrack to The Sting. So I could at the time play Mary Poppins and Ragtime. I was a very accomplished pianist, obviously.
Be sure to check us out on twitch.tv/magic this Thursday for the Community Super League, 6 p.m. Pacific, and see what we play for Innistrad Plane Constructed.
It'll be awesome.
Until then, good luck, high five.
And peace.